And to your right, those of you who are staying, please turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. Also, check into Facebook. Let the world know that you're worshiping this morning at Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. Now, I see all y'all on Facebook. I want to see you check in this morning. Amen? Check in. Brother Kyle, did you? Yeah, I checked in. Check in. The book of Genesis. This morning, we're going to continue in our sermon series, The Wonder of Christmas. So far, we've learned that Jesus came at the right time. There was no better time, nor would there ever be a better time for Jesus to come and the gospel to spread than when Jesus came. We learned that he came to the right place, that Bethlehem was prophesied, and Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. We learned that Mary and Joseph were the right couple for many reasons, but for if no other reason, because God said they were to be the earthly parents of Jesus. Last week, we saw that God picked the right witness to see and to proclaim the birth of our Lord. When they saw him, our scriptures told us that they had to go. They had to go. Nothing was going to keep them. They had to go and tell all they saw, every person they saw, because they were filled with joy and they worshiped him. This morning, we're going to see something else that was right. Church, the rumors were right and the message was right. Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? Rumors. Rumors. Well, you know, there's rumors today about Jesus. What are the rumors today about Jesus? Reagan, what's the rumor that we should be spreading about Jesus today? That's right. He's coming. He's coming. And listen, people have put us in a box and, we should be silent. We should be seen but not heard. But see, God didn't make us that way. God made us to be dangerous to our enemy. And some of y'all have forgotten that Satan is our enemy. Satan is our enemy. He was God's enemy and he is our enemy. And we're going to see that here in a second. And as our enemy, we need to interact. Listen, we need to go straight forward. We don't need to hide behind the scenes and man a line of defense. We need to go on the offensive and tell the world, listen, Jesus is coming. He's coming. Listen to me, church. All you have to do is look on social media and watch the news. The world's not ready for Jesus to come. I've stood in line behind these people this past year buying Christmas presents, and they're not going to make it through tribulation. They're not going to make it. Listen, they argue and fuss and fight when they're standing in line to get something to eat, buying Christmas presents. And you think they're going to be able to make it through 7 years of tribulation? They're not going to make it 2 days in tribulation. Jesus is coming, and you better be ready. You better be ready. So this morning's message is the rumors about Jesus were right, and the message was right. Brother Kyle, what are you talking about messages? Look with me in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to start reading in verse 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard a sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and they hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. So the Lord called out to the man and said, "Where are you?" And he said, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Then he asked him, "Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" Then the man replied, "The woman you gave to me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate." Desi, it's the woman's fault. So the Lord God asked the woman, "What is wrong with you, woman? What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "It was the serpent. He deceived me and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than any livestock and more than any wild animal. You will move on your belly and eat the dust all the days of your life. I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between you, between your seed and her seed. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins, asking you to open our eyes, Lord Jesus, that we might see you this morning. We might feel your presence in a way, Lord, that we already have, but Lord, in a greater way. Help us to know you're here. Lord, we know that Scripture says where two or more are gathered in one place, Lord, that you're also in our midst. So Lord, we know you're here. Let us feel you and experience you in a way we never have before, Lord. Help us to know your righteousness this morning. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Rumors about Jesus. Rumors about Jesus. Have you ever heard a rumor before? Any of y'all ever heard a rumor before? Well, here's a better question. Did you hear any rumors this week? Anybody hear any rumors this week? No rumors. Do any of you love to hear juicy rumors about people? Come on, women. Come on, women. Now, can I tell you, there is something about human nature that makes us want to know things, whether they're true or not. Another word for rumor could be gossip. But whatever you want to call it, can I tell you that rumors or gossip will spread faster than the truth ever will? It will. Do you think God knows that? Steve Blake, you think God knows that? Rumors or gossip spread faster than the truth ever will. Now, can I tell you that God spread rumors all throughout the Old Testament about his son coming to redeem fallen man? Did y'all know that? God himself put rumors in the Bible, in the Old Testament, about his son coming to redeem fallen man. What we just read in the book of Genesis was a rumor that God spoke to Moses, and Moses recorded in the book, that is regarded as a great historical value to the Jews. This book is part of what the Jews call the Torah, the law, Wednesday night class, or the Pentateuch. The Jews hold this to the highest of standards. There's a sect of Jews that won't read anything but the Torah, the law, or the Pentateuch. They don't believe in anything else. That's how high of regard they hold these five books. You might be thinking, Brother Kyle, I just don't get what you're saying here. I don't understand what you're saying about these rumors and how God put these rumors in the Old Testament. Warren Wiersbe says this about the scripture we just read in Genesis. God's words to Satan are called the pre-evangelism, the first gospel, because this is the first announcement of the coming Redeemer found in the Bible. This is important. Y'all should underline that. The very first time we see the Redeemer coming in the Bible. To God's covenant people, this verse was a beacon of hope. To Satan, it was a declaration of war. This ought to get us stirred up. It really ought to get us excited, climaxing in his condemnation of Satan. And to Eve, it was the assurance that she was forgiven and that God would use a woman to bring the Redeemer into the world. From verse 15 alone, the Jewish people had hope of their coming Redeemer. And because it was written in their holiest of scripture, that hope was and is the forefront of their religion. Church, today, right now, the Jewish nation is still waiting for their promised Redeemer, who has already come and whose name is Jesus Christ. But God did not stop in Genesis chapter 3 with that one little rumor. Now you think with me here for a second. As the Jews of that day lived in that area when Moses wrote the Pentateuch. And they got to verse 3. And they stopped and talked about it. Do you think that rumor spread? I believe it did. I believe it did. I believe it still does. God used that little bit of rumor to excite the people. That they still get excited today when they read Genesis chapter 3 about their coming Messiah. Listen, he's already come. He's already come. I could not be who I am without their Messiah coming. If you are who you say you are, you could not be the Christian you are had your Messiah, Jesus, their Messiah, not come. Have you ever heard the term messianic prophecies before? Have y'all ever heard that term before? There are an estimated 351 Old Testament messianic prophecies that God inserted into the Old Testament scriptures. As you look at these scriptures and see how meticulously they are placed and inserted into scripture, you have to see that God placed them there to spread the rumor of his coming son. Now, it just so happens this morning that I have a copy of all 351 of the messianic prophecies, and we're going to talk about each and every one of them, so I hope that y'all are comfortable. And I know there's at least one person who wants a copy of these, if they don't have it already. 351 messianic prophecies. They're rumors that God inserted into the Old Testament to get his people excited that the Redeemer of all the world was coming. Well, Brother Kyle, can we hear them? Well, I'm not going to read them all to you because I know y'all really want to hear them all, don't you? But I'll tell you this. There's 20 in the book of Genesis, 9 in the book of Exodus, 7 in the book of Leviticus, 3 in the book of Numbers, 5 in the book of Deuteronomy, 1 in the book of Joshua, 1 in the book of Ruth, 2 in the book of 1 Samuel, 5 in the book of 2 Samuel, 1 in 2 Kings, 3 in 1 Chronicles, 2 in the book of Job, 102 in the book of Psalms. 102, listen, rumors, whispers of God to prepare the people, to get them excited and stirred up that the Redeemer of all the world was coming. Well, Brother Kyle, didn't God have something in place? Well, yeah, he set the Jewish people in place to be a vehicle, a beacon, to point people to God. But it wasn't working. And please understand, Jesus wasn't the second idea. It wasn't plan B. God, in his infinite wisdom, Jesus was always plan A. He was using the Jewish people to let the world know that the Redeemer was coming. But he didn't stop in the book of Psalms. There are 2 in the book of Proverbs, 1 in the book of Song of Solomon, and 125 in the book of Isaiah. You're right that time. Isaiah. 120. Listen, if you want to get excited about the coming Jesus at Christmas time, read the book of Isaiah. It's 125. Five in the book of Jeremiah, 2 in the book of Ezekiel, 12 in the book of Daniel, 2 in the book of Hosea, 1 in the book of Joel, 1 in the book of Jonah, 3 in the book of Micah, 2 in the book of Haggai, 30 in the book of Zechariah, and 5 in the book of Malachi. Church, Jesus was all through the Old Testament. He was all through the Old Testament. Listen, he was concealed in the Old Testament. He was revealed in the New Testament. He was hidden in the Old Testament, but he was clearly seen for all those who wanted to see God. Just like today, God's not trying to hide. Jesus isn't trying to hide. The message isn't under a house somewhere hidden. Listen, Jesus is right here waiting for you to find him. But you have to look. You have to look. Do you know that God did not stop spreading the rumors about his son in the Old Testament? He didn't. There's 351 estimated in the Old Testament, but he didn't stop there. He wasn't done there. God used Mary's cousin Elizabeth
as a way to spread the rumor, as her child leaped in her womb. Don't you think she told people in her family? Some of y'all have seen the meme this past week. God used an unborn child to proclaim the birth of Jesus first. The conception of Jesus. When John the Baptist leaped in that I don't know what it was like. I remember when Amy was pregnant and she'd lay down on the bed and I'd put my hand on her stomach and I could feel the baby move. But I don't think any one of our children ever leaped. I don't know what that's like. But Scripture says that John the Baptist, he leaped in the mother's womb. He just went crazy when Mary came into his presence with the child Jesus. That's a rumor, a testimony. She didn't keep that to herself. God used an angel to proclaim the birth of his son to the shepherds. And those shepherds did what we saw them do last week. They told everyone they encountered. God used the day that his son's circumcision to spread the rumor of his son through Simeon and Annas. Look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. In verse 36. Luke chapter 2, verse 36 says this. There was also a prophetess Anna. She was married to a prophet, a daughter of Phineal, of the tribe of Asher. She was well among in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and was a widow for 84 years. She did not leave the temple complex, serving God day or night with fasting and prayers. At that moment, she came and began to thank God and to speak about him to all that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now look at verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was a righteous and devout man looking forward towards Israel's consolation. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And it was revealed to him that the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple complex when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law. Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." Church, do you think this man kept that quiet? Absolutely not. The little rumors of Jesus being born were being spread everywhere. Everywhere. But it didn't stop there. Church, God used a family trip. See, God can even use family trips. They're crazy sometimes. But God can use even a family trip to spread the rumors of when Jesus was alive when he was 12 years old. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Verse 46 says this, "After 3 days, they found him in the temple complex, sitting around the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all those who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers." Now, y'all, I'm going to tell you something. Justin, pay attention, son. When I was at school, the teachers were always asking us questions. And you'd see them from time to time, those smart Alex, Steve, y'all, you probably remember this. They'd ask this, "Well, who were so-and-so people? Can you spell their names in Old Testament scripture?" And they'd do something like this. They'd go, because they knew we couldn't answer that question. Right? Y'all probably have Sunday school teachers who ask those hard questions, kind of like I do on Wednesday night class. Y'all remember when we were going through Journey Through the Bible and I had to have homework for you every week? And some of y'all, I wouldn't even get home good, and y'all start asking questions, asking me, "Can you help me a little bit? I can't find it." You hadn't been looking for 10 minutes. Jesus was sitting amongst the masters in the temple, the priests and the authorities. and questions were being asked, and a 12-year-old boy was answering the questions with great authority. Now, they'd already heard rumors that Jesus was born, the Messiah was born. Most of them didn't believe it. Some of the ones who didn't believe it after he had risen from the dead. But can you imagine the talk that was going around town about a 12-year-old boy answering questions in the temple like a professional? Yeah, God used that to let the world know that his son was alive, a family trip. God sent the greatest rumor spreader as John the Baptist, who preached to the soon coming Messiah months before Jesus came into the world. Look at Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 2. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, God's word came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the vicinity of the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sin. Church, this is what we need in our world today. We've got a bunch of people that don't understand what God says about sin. Well, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. God says sin is sin in the Old Testament, but Jesus doesn't say it. He doesn't clarify it a whole lot in the New Testament. Let me help you understand something real quick here, children. Can I help you all understand something? Jesus is part of the Trinity, the three of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If he covers it in the Old Testament, he's pretty clear how he feels about it in the New Testament. Amen? If you need further clarification, come see me after church. So his message was that of baptism and repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley will be filled and every mountain and hill will be made low. And the crooked will become straight and the rough way smooth. And everyone will see the salvation of God. He then said to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore produce fruit consistent with repentance. What would the church look like today if we started doing that? If we started producing fruit consistent with our repentance. And don't start saying to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe is ready to strike the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And if y'all don't understand who he's talking about here, he's talking about the nation of Israel. Oh, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. I don't understand that whole illustration about taking an axe to the root. That's what Jesus is getting ready to do. All this form of religion and the extensions of the law that the Jews had made so burdensome to the people to find a way to the God. Listen, Jesus wasn't going to just cut the tree down. How many of y'all have ever cut a tree down before? Do y'all know what happens sometimes when you cut a tree down? This happened at our house in TEK. We had this big old poplar tree in the backyard, and the roots started going crazy all over the backyard. You couldn't even cut the grass in the backyard without shearing off your shear pin and your lawnmower. So we got tired of that. It's time to cut that dude down. We cutting the poplar down, and we had a praise ceremony in the backyard, and we weren't even Christians at the time. Cut it down. About 2 years later in the springtime, guess what started happening? A little sapling came up right beside the tree, grew up right beside the tree, and it started growing, and it got about this high. Brother Frank, and we cut that thing down again and put gas and Roundup. I mean, we did everything but stick dynamite in it. But can I tell you something? Listen, if we would have started this way, instead of cutting the tree down first, if we were to cut the roots all the way around the tree, just cut the roots. There's no supply, no nourishment can come to that stump and another tree can grow. Listen, John the Baptist is saying, listen, we're getting ready to lay our acts to the roots of this problem. It's going to be gone, and something greater is coming. And listen, the something that's greater that's coming is Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. Unbelievable. God used this to spread the word of His Son. God used the rumor of the baptism of Jesus to tell the world of His Son's coming. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Luke 2, 21. Excuse me, I gave you the wrong scripture. Good. Let me look at John 2, 21. That might not be it either. I do this from time to time. I'm sorry? Luke 3, 21. Luke 3, 21. Thank you, Desi. You're right. There it is. When all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized. As he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a physical appearance like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son. Take delight in you. I take delight in you. Church, as you're reading through Scripture, do you ever scratch your head and say, I don't understand. How much more did the Jewish people of that day need to have to be excited about their Messiah and start spreading the word, start spreading the news? Can you imagine being here that day and seeing this take place and not proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah? Now, many did, but many didn't. I just don't get it. I don't understand. But church, understand this. God used many rumors to spread the good news of His Son coming into the world and being in the world. Church, the stage was now set. It was set perfectly. The then known world may not have believed that Jesus was their Messiah, but they had all heard the rumors people were talking about that He was alive and walking in their midst. The word about Jesus was out and spreading. People would flock to Him to see Him and to find out the truth on their own. God's rumors had worked. Now it was time for something else. It's time for a message. It was time for a message. You see, God did something else to spread rumors. People would come up and ask Jesus questions. The first recorded miracle, it wasn't the first miracle of Jesus, people attribute it as the first miracle of Jesus, was at a marriage feast in Cana. And church, Jesus was just there as a visitor. I mean, He hadn't even started ministry yet. And they had run out of ceremonial wine for the wedding. The wedding feast lasted up to a week at that time, and they'd run out of wine. And Mary, Jesus' mother, came up and said, look, you know, we have a problem, Jesus. And He said, woman, what's your problem? Because He knew what she was getting ready to ask. And she said, we need some more wine. And she didn't look at Jesus. She looked at those who were with Him, and He said, do whatever He tells you to do. He said, my time's not now. She said, do whatever He tells you to do. You know, why did she tell do whatever He tells you to do? Because He'd done something in times past where she knew beyond any shadow of a doubt the request she was asking wasn't an unreasonable task. I don't know what Jesus did at the house. I don't know if He was a baby and in the swimming, you know, in the bathtub and He was walking on the water. I don't know if He walked outside and rain was falling everywhere, but it wasn't falling on Jesus. I don't know if Joseph told Him to go get the eggs from the hen, and all of a sudden He said, Daddy, I don't have to. They're already in my hand. I don't know what happened for Mary to know that Jesus could do what she was asking Him to do, but she knew that Jesus could turn ordinary water into wine. Right? Jesus healed. He brought sight to the blind. He people with leprosy covering their bodies. He touched them. He didn't even have to touch them. He just spoke and they were cleansed. People were drawn to this. Now was the time for the message. People were flocking to him like never before. And he had a message, but he was waiting. It's called pragmatism. He was gathering a group together to preach the greatest message that he'd ever preached before. And it was called the Sermon on the Mount. The table had been set. All the puzzle pieces were now in place for the message God had for man to hear. People had come. Jesus had preached the greatest message ever heard, the Sermon on the Mount. Word got back to the Jewish authorities. Most who would not believe could not make themselves believe. But our Bible tells us that there was one scribe who had to know the truth. He didn't want to believe anything but the truth. He had heard all the rumors just like everybody else had, but this time he wanted to know the truth. The tugging he felt in his heart would give God the opportunity to answer the greatest question known to man. How does man know he has salvation? How do I know that I'm saved? I think every person in this room, whether you know the answer or you've accepted the answer, you've at least asked that question unless you're too young. And I promise you, you will ask the question one day. How do I have salvation? How can I go to heaven? How can I know God's real? It's not about being a Southern Baptist. It's not being about Baptist. It's not about being any denomination. Religion is the greatest barrier known to man to keep man from God. It's about Jesus. It's about a relationship with Jesus. So the table's set. Brandon, now it's time for the message. So this scribe sneaks in because he doesn't want to be ostracized by the rest of the scribes and the Jewish authorities. And Scripture says that he sneaks in grace by night. He's peeking around the corner. His name is Ninja Nicodemus. And we see the conversation recorded in John chapter 3. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The man came to him at night and said, Rabbi. I'm sure he was whispering. He didn't want anybody to hear him. He said, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. They called whoever they were talking to the highest position that they felt they deserved. And at this time, he felt that Jesus deserved the highest position of teacher. For no one could perform the signs that you do unless God were with him. Jesus replied, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Did y'all notice something here? There's something missing. There's something, Jason, there's something missing here. Listen to it again. I want y'all to get this. He says, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as teacher, for no one could perform these signs that you do unless God were with him. What's that punctuation mark there? What is it? Period. Period. That's the end of what Nicodemus has to say right there. Do you see a question mark there? Miss Desi, do you see a question mark there? You know why there's not a question mark there? Because Nicodemus didn't ask a question. He made a statement. But watch what Jesus does. Jesus says, replied, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you know what Jesus did without Nicodemus even asking him? He answered the question that he knew was on Nicodemus' heart. That is the question that should be and is on every man's heart that's ever walked this earth. What do I need to do to have eternal life? What do I need to do? Do you think Nicodemus was impressed by that, Joey? I mean, the man just answered my question, not even ask it. But he doesn't stop there. The message is unfolding. Verse 4 says this. Nicodemus says, but how can anyone be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked him. Can he enter his mother's womb the second time and be born? I imagine Jesus chuckled a little bit here. Jesus answered, I assure you, unless someone is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whoever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whoever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed, Nicodemus, that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Are you a teacher of Israel and don't know these things? Jesus replied. I assure you, we speak what we know and we testify of what we have seen, but you do not accept our testimony. If you're saved today by the blood of Jesus Christ, and he changed your life, he transformed your life, I want you to raise your hand. Church, listen to me. There are those in our midst in this sanctuary today that will see our testimony of how Jesus changed our life and how Jesus is real, and yet they still won't believe. Jesus continued, he said, if I told you about things that happen on earth and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about things of heaven? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world. In this way, he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Church, all throughout the Old Testament, God has spread rumors of his Son's coming. Even in the beginning stages of the New Testament, through the four Gospels and the book of Acts, there are heralds of the Messiah being born. Then we see the actions of Jesus that prove that he's real. He is real. He's here. He's here. He's amongst us. And yet people still won't believe. What else do you have to see to believe that Jesus is real? Listen to me, friend. Listen to me, friend. You are not going to make it through 7 years of tribulation. You're not going to make it. You will bow before my Jesus right now on this earth, or you will bow before him when you stand before him in heaven. Scripture says every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess that my Jesus is your Lord. So why not do it now? Time is ticking. Time is running out. Church, this month, we've seen that Jesus came at the right time, to the right place, to the right couple. We're worshiped by the right witnesses, and that God used rumors to spread the word of his Son, so that his Son could proclaim the right message for the dying world to hear. My question to you is, what more do you have to hear before you accept Jesus as your Savior? What more are you going to have to learn, Christian, before you serve him the way we were created to serve him? What else does Jesus have to do before you will be as faithful to him as the bride of church as he is to you? What more? I think he's done enough. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, during this time of invitation, I pray two things. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here, which I know there is, who's never accepted you as their personal Savior, I pray today will be their day of salvation. That they'll give up to you. They'll give in to you. And they'll pray to receive you as their personal Savior. Second prayer, Lord, I pray that the saints of God will surrender to you and give all they have to you, knowing that you're all that we need. God, help us to feel you during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name I do pray. Do you need to come this morning? This is your time of invitation. I'm going to be standing right here at the front. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to, you want Jesus to be Lord of your life because you've seen how he's changed other people and you want that change as well, come talk to me. Will you come?